beautiful. You can be turning to a couple places as we begin the day. Well, I'm missing something. Somebody stole my stick. Ah, here it is. Won't you steal my stick? My eyeballs have to have a thing on a certain angle or else I can't read it. You can turn in a couple places as we begin. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and Ephesians 5. Read a couple verses in each of those passages. You find your place there. If you're able, please stand with us and as we would seek to give reverence to the Word of God. Thank the Lord for His Word to us. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, and verse where we get the title of our message this morning, where it says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We know we come to the Father in prayer in that name, the name of His Son, the name of Jesus Christ. But indeed, not only do we come to Him with our requests, but also with our praise and our gratitude in that name, the name which is above every name. And then those familiar words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll go ahead and begin reading in verse 16. Certainly, we see the background here. Simple declarations, are they not? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Father, once again, we bow before You this morning. Lord, we're here in the name of Jesus Christ. We're here in His name to give You glory, to give You praise. As best we can, lift up and worship the name that is above every name.
Amen.
So I'm asking You, Lord, please help us. Focus our attention upon You today, on our great God, on His Son, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, I'm praying that not a heart would go from this place that has not been impacted by Your Word today. Please give the preacher understanding and illumination. Loosen his tongue to be able to declare exactly what You want. Father, overrule and accomplish Your divine purposes. And of course, as always, we'd ask You that if there's anyone in our midst today that does not know Jesus as their Savior, as their answer for sin, please, Lord, might they see Him in our midst. Might they see Him in Your Word. Might we magnify that one who's done so much for us. And again, Lord, we love You. We love You because You first loved us. In Jesus' name, we ask these things, and of course, for His glory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Those words that we read in those two passages, both in Ephesians 5 and 1 Thessalonians 5, and obviously tremendous. Tremendous, and hopefully they express our hearts concerning our God. What a challenge to us. From the Apostle Paul. So easy for us, is it not, to take much for granted, but that we would be quick, ready, prepared, mindful to express our gratitude to the Lord. Now, we're going to hear this week, oh my, we'll hear such words as this, talking about Thanksgiving and all that. Not only here around our church, but in our families and amongst our friends, we're going to hear a lot spoken about being grateful and thankful. But we'll also, I'm sure, we're also going to hear such declarations from celebrities, and I'm sure the politicians will chirp in and talk about Thanksgiving. And it's interesting, though, for the most part, the rest of their lives, they're pretty much deniers of God. And so it makes me wonder, who is it that they're thankful to? They're just thankful? Well, if you're thankful, you're thankful to someone for what they have done for us. And again, this is, I'm going to express, because I've got the floor, I can do it. One of my pet peeves, I just cringe when I hear somebody talk about Turkey Day. As I've heard some of you say, and every year I try to make it known, Thanksgiving is my favorite, what we would call holiday. What's the root of that word? Holy. It's a holy day. It's a day that we set apart, we sanctify, in that sense, where we make a special expression of our gratitude. We shouldn't wake a single day or lay our head down a single night without expressing our gratitude to God. But I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to express that gratitude. At my house, we dedicate Thanksgiving Day to God, to Him. And I'm praying that's the same at your house as well. I noticed something a few years ago while studying this 1 Thessalonians passage that both blessed my heart as I was studying it, but it also challenged, we could maybe even use that word, convicted me. Those words, everything in our verse, where it says, what? In everything give thanks. You notice it's two words. Everything there. Be grateful, give thanks. And it's interesting that those two words, everything, are translated from one little word in the Greek, the simple little word, pas, P-A-S, and as it's transliterated, pas. And it is also interesting that that little three-letter word speaks of, in this passage, being thankful for everything in our life. Everything. But it also has the idea of being thankful for the totality, for everything. The word can be used both ways. And so Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lays it out for us, does it not? That we need to be thankful for every detail, everything that God is pleased to do for us, but also not to forget to express our gratitude to Him for everything that He does for us along the way. Yes, indeed. And then, of course, we understand those words, give thanks. They mean to be grateful. They simply mean to be grateful. Want to emphasize that little word "be" there? You know, I'm kind of stuck on little words. The big words might get away from me, but I can handle little words. Thankfulness. Now, get this: thankfulness is not just about words. It's an attitude. It's an attitude of life. It's a spirit of our lives. And may in these days the Lord help us to have the old cliche, if you will, an attitude of what? Gratitude. Maybe that would be an easy way for us to remember that. To have an attitude of gratitude. Think about that for a moment. Can we do that? I understand it's not at all hard to be grateful for all the blessings. But sometimes those blessings can be defined a little differently than how we might see them on the surface. All our blessings, our salvation, our families, our homes, our church, all the things that we enjoy daily. It's easy to be thankful for that. But an attitude of gratitude should rise above that, don't you think? It's not easy to understand in the midst of it, but affliction, trials, the troubles that come our way, even sickness, can also be blessings from the Lord if we see them rightly. Oftentimes, we don't see them rightly in the midst of it. And I know as I look around this auditorium, there's people in this room that God has been pleased to bless in and through times of affliction. For some, it may be that God was pleased to bring you to Himself, to save you, to make real to you your need of Christ right in the midst of one of those trials or struggles that you were dealing with. For others, the Lord allowed you to wade through some trouble, some rough waters to deepen you and to refine your faith. At the time, it didn't seem like a blessing. But when you look back, you can be thankful what God taught you and did for you and increased your spiritual strength, the spiritual faith in Him. For all of us. For all of us that are saved. Once we reach glory, once we step onto the heavenly shore, we'll see that all those things with a spiritual clarity then, won't we? The scales will fall away and we'll bow. You get that? We will bow in thanksgiving. We will bow in gratitude for the Lord for everything and everything that God has been pleased to do for us in this thing we call the Christian life. Well, the Bible talks a lot about being thankful. And we're not going to zero in. I mean, any one of these passages that we're going to look at today, we could have a whole Thanksgiving message around them. But we're going to look at some specific areas that we need to thank our God for. Thank Him for. And hopefully, we know this. But hopefully we remember that it is good to be reminded. We attempt to do that today. Turn, if you would, to 1 Chronicles. Yes, 1 Chronicles. What's 1 Chronicles have to say about being thankful? Well, in 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, and verse 34, we find David is now king in Jerusalem. And it's his heart's desire to bring the tabernacle into the city. And upon that being accomplished, there were some ripples and some struggles even in that. But upon that being accomplished and his heart's just overflowing with gratitude to the Lord, he says this. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 34. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Why? For He is good. For He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Now here, it might be interesting, but actually right here in 1 Chronicles, we have a Psalm of David that isn't in the book of Psalms. Look with me. Look with me there in that passage. In verse 4, 1 Chronicles 16, in verse 4, it says this, "And he, David, appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel." A big part of what goes on in our worship services should be gratitude, expression of our gratitude to the Lord. Yes. This psalm expresses David's gratitude for how God had worked in his life. I mean, we don't have time to do it. But we could go back and see how God had brought him from the sheepfold and established him as the king of Israel. And here he is now in the royal city of Jerusalem. And he, as king, has the privilege of bringing God's ark into the city and seeing it established there. And so, yes, indeed, this is a psalm of praise. Read with me here in verses 7. Beginning in verse 7, it says, "Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren." Get his instruction. "Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people." Make the people know how good our God is. That he is indeed a good God, as he got down into that psalm of praise. He thanks God for his goodness. Again, what kind of God do we have? A good God. Don't forget that. He is a good God. There's nothing bad about God. We get that? He is characterized by many things. And including in that, he's characterized by goodness. Some would argue, again, I've heard it, maybe you have. Some would argue that the God of the Bible is a cruel God. He's a mean God. He kills people and destroys nations. Oh, really? Really? Why is it through history that God has had to at times deal in judgment with man? Why is that? Not because he is bad. Not at all. Not because he is bad, because man is bad. Do we get that? God's not bad. We're the ones that are bad. Does not make God mean or cruel. In fact, it's an evidence of his goodness that he deals with man's sin. Do we get that? Why do you say that, preacher? He would not be good. He would not be a good God if he did not do right concerning sin. For him to wink at sin or look the other, he would be a bad God. It's a bad judge. Oh my, I don't want to get political. Not much. It's a bad judge that doesn't deal with injustice and wickedness. God, out of his goodness, judges sin. But also, out of his goodness, he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the answer, the Redeemer, our Savior from sin. Why is it? Again, why is it that lost man can't see the goodness of God? Why would they point to God and with their cursory understanding of the Bible and call him a bad God or a mean God or a cruel God? A couple of reasons I'd put forth. First, they choose to see him that way. They choose to see him that way because they want to be left alone in their sin. Who are you, God, to judge me? Because he's God. Because he's the creator of all things. He has that right. They want to be left alone in their sin. But secondly, because their sin blinds them. Sin blinds the lost man that he cannot see God rightly and correctly. Oh, yes. Our God is a good God. And he is a good God that does good things for his people. And indeed, because he's good, we should give Him thanks. Huh? Wow. Again, we could settle in on any one of these, but secondly, we need to thank God for His mercy. There in our passage in verse 34 that we read earlier, where it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." But secondly, not only give thanks unto Him because He's good, but also for His mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Out of His goodness, God expresses His mercy. Thank you, Lord. We find these words, "His mercy endureth forever," 41 times in the Old Testament. Again, many folks would say, "Oh, that God of the Old Testament, He was cruel and oh my, He just wanted to judge." But 41 times it is declared of Him, "His mercy endureth forever." The message, beloved, of God's mercy is a central theme of the Bible. That word mercy is found 53 times in the New Testament. And 261 times in the entire Bible. Huh? Mercy. Mercy. If you understand, hopefully, as Christians, we understand that there are consequences for sin. If you understand that there are consequences for sin, and not just in the generic sense, but that there's consequences for my sin. There's consequences for your sin. If you understand that, you will be very thankful for the mercy of God. For the mercy of God. Yes. You're grateful that God has not given you what you deserve. God gave me what I deserve. He'd open the pit and drop me in it. Huh? But He's a merciful God. To us. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he writes in Lamentations chapter 3. Listen to these words. You're familiar with these words. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23, they certainly express what we're talking about. Listen to what it says. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Do we get that? What's he saying? Jeremiah is saying it's only by God's mercy that He doesn't just judge us. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Aren't you thankful your God's merciful and compassionate towards us? Oh, yes. He goes on, though, and he says, "They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Oh, my. We love to sing that song, don't we? Tremendous hymn indeed. Our God is a merciful God. And certainly, for that we should be grateful. Thankful indeed. But thirdly, we could have put this first. Put it last for emphasis. But we've got it right here in the middle. Thank God for His salvation. If you're here today and you're saved, you know your sin is under the blood of the Lamb. You know that you are forgiven. Brother Netterville was talking about that forgiveness Sunday night. And over these last, 5, 10 years, the Lord has just impressed me. One of the greatest aspects of our salvation is knowing that we have been forgiven. We've been forgiven. Yes. We read in Psalm 18. Psalm 18, in verses beginning there in verse 46. breaking into the passage, but we read this. The Lord liveth. Aren't you thankful as well that you serve a living God? The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Lift up Him, His name above every name. Verse 47 says, it is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, Thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, because of this, because of my deliverance, my salvation, will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto Thy name. You know who am I? Well, I'll just say it. My biggest enemies, number one, number two. Number one, me. I'm my biggest enemy. My second biggest enemy is my sin. And I'm a sinner because of the nature I am. And praise God for His deliverance from our enemies. From our enemies. And how can we begin? Where do we end? Thanking God for His goodness to us, for giving His Son, for the gift of His Son. Indeed, we love those words, do we not, from John 3? We're here this morning because God so loved the world that that tremendous divine gift of His Son, that He loved this world, gave His Son, that whosoever, if you're saved, that's how you got in, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. Shall not perish. No, we'll experience that mercy. And through His Son, receive His great grace. Shall not perish, but have, possess everlasting life. Wow. Thank You, Lord. What words? Are there words? I don't believe there are words adequate. Sufficiently adequate to express our gratitude for Jesus Christ dying for our sin. When have we thanked Him enough? Note, as we read here, David, let me read that last verse again. He says, therefore I will give thanks unto You, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto Thy name. What's David's? You can get this the way you want, but as I read it, it seems like David's saying, nobody's going to shut me up. I don't care if I'm around God's crowd or the world's crowd. What's he say? I'm going to give Him thanks. Oh, Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. My great God, Jehovah, the one that delivered me. And I want the world to know it. Let's join David, even that the heathen would hear our gratitude. The lost would know that we're grateful for what God's done for us. The Apostle Paul surely understood it, didn't he? Indeed, he understood how thankful he should be to the Lord for his salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, those familiar words there, gets to the end of that chapter and Paul's mocking death. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Grave, where is thy sting? He says, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory. Amen. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we should indeed say our amen. Amen. Well, fourthly, thank God. This must seem a little bit different, but the Bible makes it clear. Thank God for His holiness. That we have a holy God. In Psalm 30, verse 4, David liked to thank God, didn't he? He expressed his gratitude to God over and over. But in Psalm 30, verse 4, it says this, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Huh? How about that? Did you hear that? Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Now, we have a pretty good understanding, I think, of what that word holiness is. The Old Testament word for holiness meant to be separated, set apart, separated. We have a God, beloved, that is a holy God. He is separate from sinners. Okay? He is separate, apart from sinners. The only way you and I, as sinners, could have a relationship with this holy God was for our sin to be dealt with. And God did that. God was pleased to do that. But His saints here, by the way, I want to keep putting remembrance here. Remember, that word saints in the Bible has nothing to do with some special group of believers, some kind of group of super saints. No. No. Absolutely no. That description of saint in the Bible has to do with those that are under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The children of God, His people, the redeemed of the Lord. And His saints, those who know Him, those who know this holy God are called upon to do what? Sing. Sing unto the Lord. I wish y'all could see you. You know, John's here during the song service. Standing here, and you look out over the congregation. And if I had to make some kind of a determination, I'd think you all just lost your best friend. Huh? I'm thinking, is there no rejoicing going on here? Were you rejoicing today, Dan? And he says he was. Okay. One. Sing unto the Lord. The idea is express our gratitude. It's a grand old hymn. You know it. Grand old hymn by a fellow by the name of Reginald Heber. Holy, holy, holy. Tremendous, tremendous song. Just the first stanza goes this. I'm not going to sing it. You're safe. Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song shall rise to Thee. Huh? To this holy, holy, holy God. We sing His praise. It's an expression. We don't find the actual word gratitude or thankfulness in that song, in that hymn. But it's certainly an expression of a heart that is thankful. A heart that is rejoicing. A heart that gets a case of the can't help it and just sings of His holiness. His holiness. The psalmist calls upon those who know Him to thank Him for His holiness. Lord, help us. Only those who've been cleansed in the blood of the Lamb of God. Only those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior can be a member of that choir. Because the world doesn't understand that. The world doesn't understand what it means to be redeemed. They're on the outside looking in. If you're saved, if you've experienced the work of Jesus Christ through His Spirit in your heart, you're ready. You're desirous. You want to give Him praise. You want to lift your voice to Him. The holiness of God, yes, it demanded satisfaction. But that satisfaction was met by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. To give us this place today where we can lift our voices. We can sing His praises. Oh my, our God is a holy God. And we should give Him thanks for His holiness. But then lastly, we wouldn't know any of this if it wasn't for His Word. Thank God for His Word, for the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 62 says this. I like this. Psalm 119, verse 62, it says, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgments." The Word of God, His righteous judgments. "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgments." Notice just a couple things here. Notice the position. The psalmist says, "I will rise. I will rise." And I don't think the psalmist is concerned or even his emphasis is on the position in which we pray. I don't think that's the point at all. Some pray, and I'm sure we've all prayed, without actually kneeling. And there's many who kneel that don't pray. You can bow your head without bowing your heart. That's the prerequisite, isn't it? That's the necessity, that our hearts will be bowed in submission before Him. Oh, yes. Note also the timing. It says at midnight. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee. Now, I want full disclosure. Normally, I don't like to wake up in the middle of the night. I like when I lay down my head on my pillow, literally. Thank you, Mike Lindell. When I lay my head down on my pillow, I don't want to be disturbed until the sun's coming up. Which usually I'm up before that. But he says at midnight. The literal translation, what those words mean, is the middle of the night. Thus, we get the word, what? Midnight. In the middle of the night. Now, it's one thing to be here on Sunday morning, and we got a few seconds still for morning. It's one thing to be here on Sunday morning and to be able to express our gratitude and our thanksgiving to our God, our wonderful God, where we're all together and we're smiling at each other. We're all on the same territory. But it's a whole nother thing to in the middle of the night when it's just you and God and your eyes are awakened, to be able to express your gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy. But a third thing we see. we see in this verse in Psalm 119, verse 62. Yes, indeed, at midnight I'll rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Thy righteous judgments. The psalmist is grateful for God's righteous judgments. Now, hopefully we would agree that all of God's judgments are righteous. He's a righteous God, just as He is a holy God. His word is pure, it's righteous, it's just, and we can use it without prejudice in our lives. It is equal, is it not? There's no one above it. There's no one below it. The most level ground in the universe is at the foot of the cross. This divine book gives the believer the wisdom, the ability to live for God's glory, to live for His honor, and in that, experience His blessing. We'll talk more about that this evening. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no need of fear or such things. No, not at all. Why? Because you have the righteousness of Christ. Wow. God has been pleased to speak to man. He's given us His Word. And for that we should be thankful. That's how we know Him. We know Him through His Word. And of course, as the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, is revealed to us in this book. I'm not going to deal with this last point, but I'm just going to give it to you. Daniel Flores last night mentioned this at the banquet. We need to be thankful for each other. We need to thank God for each other, the family of God. The Apostle Paul surely did. Over and over again in his letters, he expresses that gratitude. Just one of those would be found in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I like this. He says, I thank my God. He's writing to those believers in Philippi. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Isn't that a tremendous statement? There's times, beloved, I'd be busy back in that office or maybe doing something around the house, wherever it might be. God will put one of y'all on my heart, my mind. And one of the first things I do is just thank God for you. Thank you, Lord. Brother so-and-so, my dear sister. And so over and over again, we see Paul's example here. And notice that Paul told the Philippian church that every time he thought of them, he was thankful. He's thankful. Oh my. That common bond, right? The thing that makes us one is Jesus Christ. His love for us. Wow. Psalm 92, verse 1 says this. Again, none of these verses are unusual to us. We've heard them all. Psalm 92, verse 1. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It's a good thing. Let's fill ourselves up this week with this good thing of giving thanks. We have what kind of God? A good God. A good God. He's been good to me. He's been good to His people. And we have much this and much more to be thankful to Him for. And not the least, to be thankful for Jesus Christ. Last night, had my first turkey dinner for the Thanksgiving season. Probably be many more of those meals between now and the end of the holidays. But that's okay. I like turkey. As long as it's slathered real good with gravy. Thank you, David Martin. And, that's an inside joke there. What a salvation is ours in Christ.
Amen.
We have so much to be thankful for. And if you're here this morning and you don't have that peace, that confidence, that knowledge that you know where you will spend eternity, I commend Jesus to you. 47, I know I say this all the time, forgive me. 47 years, I haven't regretted giving my life, my all to Him. Not once. Not once. A lot of other things I've regretted, but not my salvation. If you're not here, if you're here and you don't have that confidence, please, we'll sing a song of invitation here in a moment. It'd be my great pleasure, my great honor to point you to Jesus, this one who died for you. Let's stand together, beloved. Oh Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we thank you for our Savior indeed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We realize that because you are that great God, that good God, we thank you for all of your expressions of your goodness to us. Maybe the greatest, Lord, I don't know. But you were pleased to manifest your love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. And Lord, again, I pray, I'm asking you in that name, the name of your Son, that I pray that always, but especially in these days, as many will be thinking of Thanksgiving, and many that aren't saved will be maybe tendered a bit towards the things of God. I ask you, Lord, might our gratitude, that attitude of gratitude, be obvious, that our appreciation, our thanks for all things to Jesus, to you, Lord, would be clearly seen in our lives. And Lord, again, I do pray. I pray that this day might be the day of salvation for some dear soul. Lord, please draw savingly to yourself. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother John.
Page 118.
As we sing, please obey the Lord, whatever He'd say to you. Obey Him. Do what He'd tell you to do. Amen. These altars are open.
I need the
I know we're all so busy, so much going on in life. And I take for granted that you love the Lord. But it's so easy, isn't it, along the way to get cold? So easy. Sometimes things happen, this, that. And we can get some bitterness creep in and allow the flesh at times to get the best of us. And in the midst of all of that, that separation, thankfulness, beloved, that gratitude is what keeps us in touch with Him. We thank Him because we know we can't endure a moment without Him. We can't deal with life without Him. But because of that gratefulness of heart, gratefulness of the very soul and spirit, we stay in tune. Yes, this happens and that happens, and we're able to step back and say, Lord, I belong to You. I know, not I think, not maybe. I know You love me and You're a good God. Merciful, great God. Let's sing one more verse. Might our hearts sing of a thankfulness to Him.
I'm easy as we are, most holy One. Oh, daily night and day, Thou blessed Son. I'm easy, Lord, easy, every hour I need Thee.
Amen. Indeed, He's a good God. He is worthy, is He not? We speak of how He's worthy of our praise and our honor and the glory. He's worthy of our gratitude. Our gratitude for Him. Gratitude for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For that sacrifice that He made for us. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Brother John, come.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, The Lord is Good.
The Lord is good. Tell us.
Tell how we